Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about Defenders, Runaways, Inhumans, and we're going to do our spoiler-tastic review of The Guardians. Sit right there and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movie.
Of Gahool.
And now,
here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Of Gahool is
how serendipitous that we just lost.
No, we're not there. We're not there yet.
What does that mean?
Because I want to make sure to give us a spoiler warning.
I'm just saying. I'm not talking about.
All right.
Good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marvel Movie News. This is episode 130 coming to you live from deep inside the core of Ego.
Ooh.
That was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
In the 80s, a lot of people were in there. Kurt Russell had a good time.
On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios, why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, our engineer in the booth will retweet you. His name today is... Ronnie.
Hey everybody, it's Ronnie.
So you know we have to name him. So
yeah,
if a chat room wants to help us name Ronnie our engineer for
today.
Oh
no, can I give you ammunition? All right.
I am
somebody who never ever watches like this Marvel type stuff. So I'm a non-comic book guy.
Okay.
They're going to make you into a villain, probably.
Yeah, probably so.
I'm sure.
we've had Doom and we've had Hydra Steve, Hydra Wife.
There
so
it
now
is.
We just need a figure out who Ronnie is. So chat room, let us know.
Hold up. Is Matt's mic okay? The chat room's saying not so much.
Oh no, because
it is,
it's
in fact not plugged in. I think.
How did you unplug that?
I don't know.
We did a mic check and it was okay.
Can we hear me now?
Good.
No. Okay.
No.
There
you
go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
130 episodes in.
Yeah.
First unplugged mic.
First unplugged mic.
Yeah, was amazing.
My chest is massive and mighty, apparently.
Yes.
I guess.
So you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. No one heard any of that, but
yes.
We've got to move on. We've got a big show, so
yes.
we're pushing through it. All right. Thank you for catching that, Alan.
Sure.
My name is Matt Key at the Matt Key. We're joined by Markia McCarty at MARK. MARKEIAMCCARTY.
Yes.
Did I do it right?
Well, more emphasis on the T, but yes.
More emphasis on the T. Let me.
I emphasize the T so people know not to put an H.
Not an interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to
science.
Know. Science. We're also joined by Coy Jandro at CoyJandreau.
Every time. Music matters.
Yeah.
It's true.
And if you don't recognize the gentleman next to him, that is...
With the fashionable glasses.
Very fashionable.
Very fashionable.
And the clockwork necklace and the Thundercats shirt. Yeah. We've got Mr. Alan Kistler, the Sizzler himself. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
I was glad that you hit me up on Facebook. You were like, I'm right down the street. And I was like, you know what? Come on in.
Yeah, I was working on video game writing.
Yeah, no, I know.
Nice.
I'm proud of you for that. That's really exciting. I want to talk to you more about that off the air because... That's a very exciting endeavor.
It is.
Can I say how excited I am right now? Like, this is the dream team for us to be talking about what we're talking about today. For, like, everything.
Yeah, it's... I'm pretty...
There's
for
so
like
much
everything.
Goodness today.
There's so much goodness.
There's a lot of good. There's a little bad, but there's so much good.
I'm intrigued now.
Yeah, well, just wait.
You know
the sour helps the sweet, man.
Yeah.
It helps,
it
helps the contrast. It helps the contrast.
There it is.
If you know me at all, you know that I try to stay positive. I try very hard to stay positive, to look at it. There's one story, though, that I'm having a hard time with.
Constructive criticism.
Yes.
You know, you're allowed to have your opinion, but also, you know, don't drag people unless they have it coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So let's jump into it. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Kistler, the dream team himself. But let's get into it. Let's start with the Defenders released their first trailer.
They did.
And we are going to watch it and talk about it for a few minutes.
You have interrupted a citywide investigation.
Ooh, I wonder who that could be.
I love
you stole evidence from my crime scene.
I love that we get to see Misty Knight and Jessica Jones.
And you got my one.
This already passes the Bechdel test. 3 seconds into it.
There it is. But
well and done. Did you see with the files? I believe that she has each of their files.
Who the hell are you? Yeah.
My name is Matthew Murdock. I'm your attorney.
Now, this intrigues me because how does he know she's there? How does he know to help her? Like,
how does being Harlem's hero allow you to live an actual life?
Also, here, shaping the show with all the introductions of characters meeting is such a fun way to show the trailer. Like, the moment you won't wait for, that Avengers lineup, and it's just the 2 minutes of your trailer. Like, you just dive into it.
What were you saying, Marquia?
Who are you?
Oh, I was saying that, oh, I forgot.
Sorry. How come
you can't be I also think that opening it with that, like, same 90s twang Nirvana, like, as the teaser is a really great call.
I love that we mimicked
the shot in Luke Cage.
Yeah, the Luke Cage shot where someone broke their fist on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I love that Stick gives no respect to Danny here.
None.
Yeah, he calls him like a little boy or something. Like
I know what I was going to say. Like with Claire talking to Luke Cage, you can even feel like the seeds of them separating with what she was saying.
Yeah.
And I like that it feels like a Netflix show. It doesn't feel like any of their shows. It feels like a new thing. Like the tone of the show feels different, but all of them feel like themselves. Does that make sense? Like, and the budget's clearly higher. That one shot looked like more expensive than all of Daredevil.
Yeah, and then Sigourney. Shit
together. Oh, love her.
I have a sword I named Sigourney Weaver.
You what? You named a sword Sigourney Weaver?
It seemed the most like fitting name for her.
Worth noting the lighting in the show.
Oh, wait, here's the best line.
Yeah.
You
look like an idiot.
I mean, he wouldn't know.
And the most important thing Netflix can do: show us the hallway. Like that's what we all wanted.
All of them fighting in the hallway
and, like,
at the
we
same
got
time.
That at the end.
No.
What are you talking about? Bulletproof. Blind ninja. Whatever it is you are.
Classy.
I'm all for Jessica throwing Danny shade.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm for everybody throwing Danny shade right now.
That show looks so good.
It looks really good. Hopefully that will redeem a little bit of kind of what we lost with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I think it already has. That teaser is so much better than, like, we never got a trailer we were that excited about for Iron Fist.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
That is true.
Marquia, let's start with you. What were you, you were about to say something.
Yeah, something with Iron Fist. I'm really hoping they give him the time for choreography since they have the four of them, and even how that looked in the hallway scene where he had like a diving eat my fist kind of shot going in, and how it was synchronized. It kind of reminded me a little bit of, you know, at the beginning of, I think it was Age of Ultron, when all of the Avengers are doing their own thing, and then they all do that leap over the fence at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't a huge fan of Age of Ultron, but I really enjoyed that sequence.
That shot is awesome.
Oh, yeah,
fun. That was so that kind of gave me that feeling when I saw that hallway scene. I really also enjoy it. It looks like they're keeping Misty Knight like she is, you know? So I really want to see if they're going to have that Misty Knight Iron Fist romance, because right now he doesn't deserve her.
No. No. No.
Well, he's also currently got Colleen Wing, so like, they'll have to do something with
that
too.
I'm sure in between they've probably split something.
Also, Matt, it's a modern world, all right? It's a modern world. Your monogamous, only one person sentiments don't have to apply to every hero in the Marvel universe.
That is fair.
Oh, he definitely doesn't deserve that.
No, he doesn't. That is the best counterpoint.
Coy, what are your thoughts?
I liked that we've talked about their different styles, the different flavors of each character, and this trailer gave everyone time to shine. It gave us a little tiny bit of Sigourney Weaver. It showed us what the hallway fight was. It was the show without any spoilers. I like that Netflix has done a really good job of keeping us in the dark, but giving us what we want to see. So that I think that was a trailer for fans, by fans of the property, because I don't know anything that I didn't know beforehand, but I also got to be like, oh, that's how they interact. Oh, this is what it's going to be. Oh, this. And I still I have nothing. So it dispelled all concerns while also showing me that if you let Iron Fist work with someone, maybe it'll be watchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, I'm not upset about Iron Fist anymore. Like, going into it like that, Iron Fist, I don't think it'll be distracting. Like,
it's a different show. It's a different showrunner. This show actually has a fight choreographer, which Iron Fist did not.
Didn't have a fight choreographer.
No, it had a stunt director. There is no look through the credits.
Interesting
chat. There is no fight choreographer on Iron Fist. They had a stunt director. Yeah.
And I was going to say Iron Fist had merits, but the fights were obviously the weakest point. So the fact that they can, if they can take the goodness of Iron Fist, put it into the universe we love all the rest of, and then add a fight.
If you could make your martial arts hero look like a martial artist, that would be amazing.
Then mayhaps we're all know. But I don't think they do. And that one, yeah.
This already looks like better. And that's, again, like whatever problems I had with Iron Fist, I wasn't going to carry that into Defenders because exactly. That's a different show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
run by a different person.
Run by a different person, not by the Buck. And it's looking like exactly what we've all been talking about. It just looks like a great coming together of these different worlds and all the different flavors. But in a way that makes sense. It doesn't seem like it's not just, look, they're standing together. Isn't that cool? Like, you're already just seeing some of the interactions, that there will be some conflict, but that they're also going to figure out slowly, maybe at first, maybe with some push and pull, how to be a team, which is great because, I mean, if the Avengers were a bunch of people who were used to working on their own, these people are definitely lone wolves. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of people who are used to being the person who gives the orders.
And it makes total sense that Danny Rand would be the one person who's like, hey, we should all
just like team up,
all,
guys.
Let's all team up this. And work together, because he's the only person there that kind of has no one.
Like, yeah. He also hasn't like really seen the stuff that they had in a certain way. Like, he's had the corporate espionage, but he didn't like go through the hand in like quite the manner Daredevil did, and quite like he's seen less of the darkness. So like, guys, let's do
also,
this.
Also, think about his background. I mean, he was raised by monks. Mm-hmm. Just about, you know,
it's about as tribal as it gets.
Think like, of that. You know, and then like, look at Jessica, where she had to go through all of that stuff with David Tennant.
That was my level of darkness and this other darkness. like
David Tennant.
I love you giggle when you say David Tennant.
He's my doctor. So I want
redemption.
He's a good man.
But then like Luke Cage, he was part of a community, but he was also kind of standalone because of his powers.
Sure.
You know, you have him.
And he's from Georgia.
What?
No, it's Harlem. He was an outsider. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was from Georgia. Like, that was also part of the outsiderness.
Oh, but I did like to jump off of what you were saying with, like, that table scene at the end. You see all of them there, and Danny Rand is the one that's all for it, but you can already sense, like, there isn't a real camaraderie there. Like,
no,
not yet.
No, they're figuring each other out.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy that. You can feel that just from that scene.
Well, also, the only two people there who know each other before this show is Luke and Jess. And they, from what you can see, like, are the most comfortable with each other there at that table. Like, Luke is laughing at her joke because it's Jess. It's just being Jess. Like, he is in familiar territory. Whereas none of them have met Matt before. You know, they only know about Danny from the news items that he's a guy, like, riches to rags again within the span of 3 weeks. Like,
he's a billionaire,
with a glowy fist, as Stick puts it. You know, it's a really great dynamic.
I am throwing it out there, though, that it's a very real possibility. I think we brought this up like forever ago, where it's a very real possibility that Danny might be the one that ends up giving Misty Knight, the bionic arm. Yeah, depending on how big
story wise. I don't need it all to tie in so deep.
Yeah.
So did you guys notice in the trailer that, I think it's right as Stick starts talking, you see like that shot of the street and you see like this weird, like effect where like the cars all kind of
that ripple.
Right.
And then a couple shots later, you see that same exact thing happen to the team. Like it seems like they're all in a warehouse, like training or meeting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that invisible force just kind of blows them all back. Is that, what do we think that is? Like, that's
Dormammu.
A dragon.
a dragon form.
We finally get a dragon.
Yeah, we finally get a dragon.
A full fire-headed dragon, not a fire-breathing dragon.
Boom. Yes.
It's very
weird. Exciting. It's like, it's weird. But do we think that that's like a mystical power from the hand? Do we think that's related to the Beast of the Hand? Like,
I assume
what do
it's
we
mystical.
Think?
I mean, it looks like it's, the scope of it is huge, and the budget of the show looks different. I think it's going to be the hand's, you know, black sky.
The Daredevil and Iron Fist have touched on the mysticism, but they haven't gone full force like Doctor Strange did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the time to rev it up. And as well as that, the hand is still not truly fully established as a threat beyond the fact that they can fight.
Yeah.
And so now that you have
the resurrection.
Right, but even that, like, we've seen that in some like weird instances, like we don't know how often that's happened, and we haven't seen them resurrect someone like Elektra yet. Mm-hmm. Elektra's getting resurrected here, that's cool. But you know, we've seen the people they've resurrected have the same abilities they had before. It's just maybe they're harder to kill now.
Harold, remember, right. He was...
Right, but he didn't have, like, suddenly superpowers. He was still Harold.
He was just kind of a...
But, yeah, he was a jerk.
He's kind of a douche.
Yeah. But he was, you know, less easy to kill now. And that was it. Now's the time to rev it up of, like, what can the hand really do? Yeah. What forces can they unleash?
It's like an Uber pet cemetery.
Sure.
When they come back. They come back as
There's no dragons. There's big cats. Yeah. Very exciting stuff. I think what it is like, we had the Avengers, all the individual movies were all fairly contained to, like, the end of the universe set within the universe. Like, Iron Fist. I mean, Iron Man had that, you know, the Jeff Bridges Iron Man, like, and Thor was set in that little New Mexico town. This is a show that street leveled York. When you all combine them together, it needs to be a big enough threat in order to make that threat credible.
And that's just the thing.
Like, so I think this is the escalation of mysticism because it has to. Like,
yeah, well, right. Each of those individuals that make up the Defenders can by themselves take out a dozen people.
Right.
Even if those people are the Hand. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. So you've got to rev it up beyond just numbers. Because that'll get weak after two episodes.
And the hospital fight is already going to be hard to top. Like, when you have all those ninjas climbing a hospital, you can't just do that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, yeah, I think we're going to go more to the mysticism, whether it's the Beast, whether they're going to connect it to the other Marvel universe by saying the Beast is really some other force out there. Whatever. Maybe we can finally see the Iron Fist do some other stuff as mm-hmm. well to counter that. I don't know.
And Sigourney Weaver looks great.
Sigourney Weaver.
Speaking of, who do we think Sigourney Weaver is?
Your mom.
No, my...
Dormammu.
No, my mom... My mom is neither Sigourney Weaver nor Dormammu.
Oh, okay, well... I actually have no idea. And this is one of the first times I've been like, I have no idea. And I really am excited about that. Like, I feel like whatever I go into with this is going to be great.
Yeah, I feel like she's like the leader of the Hand in some way, but
yeah, I think that
is she a comic specific character?
I think that she has to be something to do with that whole super soldier thing that gave Jessica her powers. I think that she has
okay, so you're IGA.
Yeah, IGH. Yeah. Thank you. I'm thinking that it has to be that, and then like not only that, that goes into like the Noah Bernstein, and then that kind of ties mm-hmm, back mm-hmm. into a Diamondback on the Luke Cage side for her to be head of that, and then if she took. You know, if she was following Jessica Jones all that other time, and then, you know, you have Iron Fist and Daredevil in there too, I think that she would have files on all of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Getting on their weaknesses. I want to see Luke Cage get poisoned and how we fix that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing.
I'm curious if she's someone we know from the comics who would never anticipate to be played by Sigourney Weaver. Like, what if she's the head of Roxxon? What if she's Silvermane? Like, what if she's someone, like, that is a great street-level villain but would be like, oh, Sigourney Weaver? I want to be, like, super surprised.
I mean, you could even make her Mephisto and just this is the form Mephisto has taken.
Like, yeah. That'd be because, you know, that second villain that comes out.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's still her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are so many possibilities because, I mean, Marvel's done a great job of adapting all these things, but they've also shown that they're willing to really change
and
screw around
about.
With stuff. You know, like Crane Mother is working with the Hand in Iron Fist. And, you know, connecting Jessica's origins to Luke Cage's origins and having people meet under different circumstances. They're totally willing to screw around with. I mean, we'll get into it later, but, I mean, Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy is not... the same character
absolutely
from the comics. Like,
their
connections, but they really
they
go their own path.
It, yes.
Although, real quick, for Iron Fist, I watched it way too many times, more times than I wanted to. But one of the things that they established, like, in the second episode is that Iron Fist says that he's from the Order of the Crane Mother.
Right.
Also very...
There's a lot of
There's a lot of weirdness
so
in
it's
Iron
like,
Fist.
I really enjoy that they changed everything so we, as people that know and love these comics so deeply, don't know what it might be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what, we're going into this and we're getting the same excitement as people that don't know the comics.
I think Madame Gao is Khan.
I think Sigourney Weaver is Zool, and I think that's all. That's our card.
All right. Well, let's move on real quick.
I would be fine with that.
Mike Coulter explained how the Defender villains come into the other Netflix shows. Talking to TV Guide, he said, the villains that we are dealing with are a combination of several entities, and they all have something to do with our separate stories that have been played out in each of our own individual series. So basically what he's saying is all of the villains that we've faced are somehow now involved in this series, and they all have something to do with how we all meet. So Kilgrave, that was IGH, right? Mm-hmm. So,
Wasn't
like,
that?
All of the scientists around that, the accident that gave Jessica Jones her power, all that stuff.
The Meachums funding it, perhaps?
Sure. Like, so, like...
Very real possibility.
So, basically, the way I'm interpreting that quote is, In the same way that the Defenders are all going to become related, they all become related because the villains who created the heroes are already related.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And they all come to meet each other. It's basically this. It's kind of just getting confirmation from Mike Coulter of what we've kind of been saying for a year now.
The villains bring them together, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total
sense. They're not like walking down the street like, you do cool stuff too, let's hang out. That'd be weird.
Yeah, so,
And I like all of that being connected. We like bring back Reva Connor's death kind of a thing.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that would be so bad.
That'd be nice.
Let me just finish off the quote here. He says, so this has been going on for a while. It wasn't obvious in each individual series, but in this series, you will find out that the things that happen to all of us, basically, we're all because of one entity, and that's going to be kind of tie things together. So yeah.
August.
Yeah, I'm excited. So let's leave Defenders behind and talk about Jessica Jones very briefly. They're shooting their second season right now. We got our first look at some of the pictures. This came from at MCU Filming and MCU Exchange. Our good friends over at the MCU Exchange. We've got Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones. Probably not in character.
Yeah. The happiest Kristen Ritter.
Yeah, that's
super big smile.
Yeah, that's probably not in character. At all, and then that's
certainly not in character. Yeah, but look at her being nice to paparazzi.
Yeah, but she's certainly she's friend, giving the peace sign there. And then I think we've also got Trish Walker, pictures of Rachel Taylor. I want to say is her name right? Rachel Taylor. Let me double check. I don't have it written down here, but Rachel Taylor, I believe, is her name. Mm-hmm. And Trish Walker, and hopefully we'll get to see her be Hellcat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the Defenders,
what was
if not
her name
the
in
Defenders.
The comics, Betsy Walker?
Patsy
Walker, yeah.
Patsy yeah. Walker. Although, I mean, they seemed like they were setting up Claire Temple to be Hellcat
in
Iron Fist with the claw weapons they were giving her.
You know? Yeah, a little bit.
Or maybe she's going to be Tigra. I don't know. There are a lot of cat themed characters you can attach to her.
But it would be fun to see Tigra and then also see Hellcat.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be fine with that. More cats.
More cats all the time.
Catwoman, Black Cat, Tigra, Tigress, Cat.
Cat. Everyone's favorite character, Cat.
Before we move on, someone in the live chat just informed us that the teaser for the X-Men show just dropped. And this is actually a thing.
The Gifted?
It decided not to drop on a Wednesday. It decided to drop on a Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So that's
on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Should we ask Ronnie if he can grab that during the show?
At some point, we could throw to it if we could. Thank you, Sky Patterson.
Of course. Read it to me one more time. I'll find it right now.
X-Men The Gifted. It's should check out Slash Film. They're usually...
The Gifted. Okay. I'll get on it.
Great. Let us know when you got that, and we'll take a quick answer. Does it say what it's what the name of the actual show? Is it Gifted?
It says The Gifted.
The Gifted.
Yes.
Huh, interesting. All right, cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody's thanks. And thanks, Ronnie, for looking that up. In the meantime, we're going to move on to The Runaway. This is a very TV-heavy show. There wasn't a lot of movie news this week.
It's almost like a giant movie drop, so they had plenty of time to relax.
Yeah, it's almost like they decided to take a week or two off, and Marvel Television was like, well, we're going to get in there now.
I mean, $146 million dollar lean on. I'm sure they can do that. Oof,
wow. Pretty good run. Marvel's Runaway was ordered to series at Hulu. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wait, that's not news. That already happened. Nah. The pilot was ordered by Hulu. If the series is being picked up, that means the good folks over at Hulu have seen the pilot and liked the pilot enough to pick it up as a series. I don't know how many episodes we're going to get. Since it's a Hulu, it's probably 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would guess no more than 13.
It's
so it's probably like a
run.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
unfortunately,
that got
we won't be able to binge it. They like to, like to put things out.
They like to follow that old tried and true method that TV's been doing.
Television.
TV's eating itself. Evolve.
We also, so that's exciting news because that means we're gonna get to see it. There was no like being ordered is cool. This means we get to see it.
Do we have the picture of the cast?
We do.
Goodness.
Yeah, looks great.
Yeah, right?
Looks great.
Yeah, they kind of just about nailed it. The only thing I rue is that I don't get to see Old Lace in that picture.
The format is such a great comic thing. Like, when do you remember Amazing Spider-Man 2? This is going to say a positive Amazing Spider-Man 2. When they did that trailer release, the poster release, and they found like the yellow poster of that iconic cover of 121, like, they reshaped a poster to look like... If more things did that, it's almost like comic fans like comic references.
Yeah.
So the fact that they made this their first image is like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Ronnie, if you want to go ahead and actually pull up that image, it's number 15 and the rundown. There we go. Oh, it does look really
look how
good.
Look good that is.
It's pretty dead on.
Not only is it the cover, but it's also got Hulu flavor. Like, I was really impressed by the amalgamation of both. I know this is a Hulu show because of, like, the coloring and the format and the lighting. Yeah. But I also know this is exactly the cover of the first, like, the, you know what I mean? So it's nicely done. If the show's this good, it's a good show.
Mm-hmm. For those of you on listening to us through iTunes or on a podcast and you can't see the visuals, we've got a picture of the Runaways here. It's the first image that we have. And from left to right, it looks like we've got, let's see, Ariella Bearer as Gertie Yorks. Then next to her is Lyrica Okano as Nico Minoru. Then next to her is Renzi Feliz as Alex Wilder. Next to him is Chase Stein as played by Greg Sulkin. Then Carolina Dean as played by Virginia Gardner. And then finally we have Molly Hernandez, played by Allegra Acosta. So
And the way that they look, it's set up just like it looks for the comic book.
Down to the hair.
Yeah, right down to the hair.
So well done.
It looks really, really good. Along with that, a teaser actually leaked, and it's been taken down since. Maybe you were one of the lucky ones who got to see it. I watched it a couple times. I always feel dirty when I watch leaked stuff because I know I'm not supposed to, but I also know that I have a...
But it makes you feel powerful.
It does. Well, that
it excites you.
That, and I have a Marvel show. It's my responsibility.
Continue,
it's my
responsibility to get that information. As
I
soon
have
as you
to
can.
Get that information so for that I people. Can. It's for the people.
I get right.
It's for the people.
Sure.
Of
I'm
sure.
not doing it for me.
No, that'd be crazy talk.
No.
Selfless Matt Key. Matt Key confirms is selfless.
Hey, completely. I didn't say it. I didn't confirm it. That's Koi confirms.
Koi confirms. Koi confirms. Sweetheart.
I'll take it. Best compliment I've had today. But that first look, probably can't find it anymore. Go ahead and go look for it if you want to.
Yeah, if you can.
It's a little fuzzy. You can't really make a whole lot out of it. But what I can say that I liked about it was that it was similar in flavor to the Cloak and Dagger trailer.
Mm.
And that you didn't really see any powers. Like, you get a sense of who these kids are to each other and what their parents are doing. But the only actual real power that I ever saw in it was Carolina Dean sort of... You know, her bioluminescent rainbow glow. And I was like, that looks pretty good. And that was it.
That was, like in a club scene.
Yeah.
It's a good band.
Definitely
name.
Good 80s pop punk
band. Bioluminescent rainbow.
They open for
it's a good band. That's our band.
They
That's
open
our
for
band
Nazar all the time.
Yeah. Something that I did like about the leaked footage is that it also looked like panel for panel.
Yeah.
When you're
really
like,
the posters that. Like, that's so. And why not?
Hey,
like, if you
no
can.
Problem with that. I'm okay.
Oh, look, we've got a storyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
So we've got the Runaways coming out. That's exciting. We've seen the cast photo. And a tentative release date of November or December of this year, though an early 2018 release is also not out of the question. So everyone, pray to the deities that you believe in.
Hey there.
Hey!
I believe, are you guys talking about Marvel's The Gifted?
We are ready for it.
We're actually just finishing up the Runaways. We're actually done with it, unless you guys have anything else you wanted to say.
No, I got nothing.
Happy saying.
How fun is that? Go ahead and introduce it, and then I'll get it ready right about now.
Awesome, yeah. So we're this is the first time you are watching us live right now react to X-Men The Gifted. Because it just dropped while we've been on the air. Go ahead and run it, Ronnie.
I taught you how to swim.
You.
I can teach you this.
What? Dude.
This is a burden. It's also a gift.
Oh, wow, that's soon.
Whoa, it comes
that's, out. Wait, what?
That's in
no, that's
2 weeks.
It's that soon?
It's May, right?
Did
that
May.
Say May?
It said May 15th. Like
can you rewind it 10 seconds to where,
I mean, what's today's date? Today's like the 9th?
It's the 9th.
I don't know why I raised my voice for that. He's on a microphone.
you were trying to get it all the way into
like,
the booth.
I even cupped my hand over my mouth. Like an idiot.
You can just start it from there, Ronnie.
Yeah.
He's yelling into the void.
Yeah, what? I'm such an idiot. I understand technology.
Ronnie, you can start it from there. That's fine.
All right. So the powers are cool.
It's also
all right.
A gift.
All right, and pause it right on the date.
There.
That's
5:15.
5:15.
That's in six days, y'all.
That's the official trailer.
We all didn't read.
Like,
we all just were like, those yellow numbers?
That's we're all that's distracted
we are
by
so
the pretty
trained.
Lights.
Yeah. We are so trained to see a date to be like, that's when it's coming out.
I'd be so embarrassed to rewatch that moment of all four of us being
like, what?
6 days,
thank
huh?
Thank you for playing that, Ronnie.
I gotta say, you guys got me on my toes, but the show is kind of fun. I will give you guys that. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, where's the video at?
6 days!
5:15, you guys, it's 5:15.
Oh, that's really funny.
All right, so we get official trailer next week, basically.
Now, that looked pretty foxy and not so comic-y. Did that, I mean, that reminded me of, like,
sure.
Generation X Fox a little bit. Like,
Generation X.
Remember that?
I rewatched Generation X 2 weeks ago because I needed something to make me feel better after Iron Fist.
and that was what did it?
At least it was fun.
You are a complicated man.
I rewatched Fantastic Four after Fantastic Four, which is a weird move. I did that. I was like, Chris Evans will warm me up. Thanks, guy. And then I was just like,
I see what you did there.
Something that I did enjoy about that little teaser, though, it definitely looked like after she did the whole popcorn thing coming out, it looks like she couldn't control her powers because then the vending machine blew up.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, gifted, but yet a curse.
Gifted, asterisk.
I do
classic
like the
X-Men thing.
That they're at least playing with that theme of, like, blessing and curse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Rogue's a very powerful character, but she also just can't ever touch you.
And
so
X-Men belong on serialized TV. Like,
if there's ever a comic
book property to be a long form, explain, invest in the characters, like, X-Men reads like a soap opera. We need to care about these guys before there's any. That's why I don't think Phoenix makes sense in the next movie. We don't care about Sophie Turner's Jean Grey.
So if
we have a long form show, then we might get X-Men, and I'd like that.
What was such a letdown from the original trilogy was that we had invested in Famke Janssen, and when it was like, oh my god, they're doing the Phoenix, like, oh my god, I this is gonna be so heartbreaking and terrible, and then
but with somebody
know,
else
perhaps then, maybe the director goes and does Superman, and then we get a weird third movie, and then that's the Phoenix saga.
That's the Phoenix.
So dumb.
Anyway,
there is one little thing that I wish that we would have people coming into their mutant powers at a more mature age. I would love to have more people and heroes like that. Whereas,
age diversity?
Yeah, I would like some age diversity.
I mean,
I know it's the whole thing with puberty, and then it's like, I have powers!
At the same time, like, you can absolutely explore, especially, I think, now that you bring it up, that would be a great metaphor for people who have something about themselves that they deny until later in life, whether that's sexuality, whether that's recognizing a heritage, you know, like a mixed heritage or something. Like, I mean, my mother's Peruvian, she's an immigrant, but like, I really didn't think of myself as Peruvian American or like Latin American until maybe I was in my 20s. Like, even though it was clearly there, I just thought of myself as like another white kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I am white, but like, I wasn't recognizing as much or investigating that part of my heritage until like my 20s. And there are people out there who, like, you know, are in the closet until they're 35.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, that's actually, I think that's a really great idea where you could examine someone who just, because having a mutant power doesn't mean that you have to use it. Like, maybe there is someone who agreed with Iceman's mom when he said, have you tried not being a mutant? There must be people out there who've tried not being a mutant.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Leave right now. Go write it. I want a draft by next week. You gotta run.
Is that the first positive get out?
Is that like
the first constructive get out? You know what? You get out and get some stuff done. You go ahead and get out.
Get out and get your life started.
Yeah,
girl.
Just
that's amazing.
Get on out.
Yeah, that's a get on out.
Get on out.
It's getting weird, folks.
Episode 130. Get on out.
So let's talk Inhumans, folks.
Okay.
I don't really want to stay on this long.
Yeah, we'll just do it real quick.
So Entertainment Weekly released their very first look at the Inhumans royal family from left to right here on the screen. And again, if you're on iTunes, just go look this up. It's on Entertainment Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
You have I'm going to butcher this name and I apologize, but Ime Ikwakukur as Gorgon, Ken Leung as Karnak, Anson Mount as Black Bolt, Serenda Swan as Medusa, Isabel Cornish as Crystal, and Ewan Rion as Maximus. So we got them there, and that's fun.
Yeah, you know, Ewan
is it
from Game of Thrones.
I want it.
You know, so
Alan.
Very fun casting for Maximus.
Oh, the castings.
Yeah,
yes.
Anson Mount. You know, he doesn't have a face mask in the picture, but I'm
fine with that.
This is
what I've been saying ever since this photo came out. All right, excuse me.
That's what I've been saying.
Yes, sorry, Ben. What I've been saying since this photo came out is this is the Inhumans. This is one of the weirder aspects, unapologetically weirder aspects mm-hmm. of the Marvel Universe, particularly from the mind of Jack Kirby. Everything mm-hmm. about the Inhumans is clearly Jack Kirby, mm-hmm. and Stan Lee just did some dialogue for it, but so Jack. With the Inhumans, like the Celestials, like Asgard, like the New Gods, you gotta go full Kirby. Not half Kirby, you go full Kirby. This, to me, if these were other characters, I would say, yeah, that's not bad. That's sort of like, it's almost, this honestly reminds me of Smallville, where mm-hmm, they were trying mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. really ground everything as much as possible to a world that hasn't yet seen Superman and hasn't yet gotten used to capes and doesn't embrace that yet. And I'm like, that's the wrong direction to go to with Inhumans.
With this property.
Particularly when this is a world that already has, like, Jessica Jones and Daredevil and mm-hmm. frickin' mm-hmm. the
Doctor
Avengers.
Strange.
And Doctor Strange now is wearing a cape because that's what Doctor Strange does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is, if it's the Inhumans, they're from another society. They have their own fashion. They have their own tech.
Yeah.
And it just looks like they got a really, like, neat, but not honestly as weird as I've seen, like, fashion show garb. Like, I've seen weirder, more otherworldly stuff in The Fifth Element and on, like, Paris Fashion Week.
I've seen weirder, more outwardly stuff at the mall, dude. Like,
that's
my problem is, and I am a very positive human being, when I think of the Inhumans, I think of embracing your other self. I think of diving into the thing that makes you weird and making it a positive. I think of going, hey, this is the thing that separates me, and that is a gift, and that is a privilege, and thank you to the Terrigen Mist for making that a positive, and I make that my religion. This decides to make that into, shh, put it down, hide it, put it away. And mm-hmm. that's not what we
don't
want.
Don't look too weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a society of people who aren't, like, if you have powers, you're weird and dismissed. Like, they want their kids to get powers.
Well,
if your kid doesn't get the chance to be exposed to this weird mutagenic crystal, that's a sad thing. You were hoping that your kid got exposed and had their true self unleashed. And if that means you became a merman, so be it.
One of my favorite things about the Inhumans is that there's almost something a mystic property to the mutagenic principle transformation mm-hmm. where you transform on behalf of the entire culture and society. So, like, if you need more aerial combatants in the military when you go through Terra Genesis, Atalan knows we need
more of this.
We need more winged heroes.
It's like a hive mind. A lot of insects.
We need a civil engineer who can handle this sort of thing. Like, there's almost like a precognitive element to the Terra Genesis where mm-hmm. it knows that something is coming and it's like, we better prepare for this threat and create an Inhuman who can create a force field or have a leader who can't talk but can just decimate mountains
We need a king who's a WMD.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about how it's just this property lets the freak flag fly.
Right.
You fit. You know, the better it is, the harder you wave, you fit.
And see, I think you're absolutely right. And this goes back to one of the problems I had, because it's the same showrunner as Iron Fist. It's Scott Buck. Mm-hmm. And part of my disappointment with Iron Fist was it didn't embrace fully the Iron Fist stuff. Like, if anyone was going to walk around New York in a green robe with gold trim, it would be Danny Rand, mm-hmm. who just does not give any damns about what you think about him. Like, this is his culture. This is his thing.
Not
now.
Only that, he's a billionaire. So.
He's an MBA. Yeah. He's a billionaire.
He's an
eccentric
man from
yourself.
A completely
have
other
you seen
culture.
What billionaires wear?
Exactly.
He'd have no problem walking around like that.
And you know, the Iron Fist, it literally was a glowing hand. It wasn't like that frickin', like, energizing fire with Kirby dots leaping off of him. And I just felt like you're grounding it too much. Like, you're allowed to go further now with certain things. And with this, like, you don't even have to have them in their battle costumes, but just outfits that let me know they are not, first, that they're royal, and secondly, that they're not from, like, Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, so, like,
and then just real quick, they just, like, took all the spitfire out of Medusa with that. It's just, she's so, I can't stand the wig. Mm-hmm. Sorry, this it's just.
So let me just throw this out there.
Sure, sure.
This is a first look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first looks oftentimes aren't exact. This is probably not exactly what we're gonna see. They rush this out.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't understand, except that they have to start getting publicity out, and I don't understand why they wouldn't be 100% ready. But,
well, again, the dude who didn't have a fight choreographer for Iron Fist and who had Finn Jones have only 3 weeks of training and then only 20 minutes before each fight scene filmed. So,
yeah.
So him being unprepared is not a surprise to me.
No, not at all. So let me, here's what, along with this picture, they had an interview with Scott Buck, and he said of Medusa's hair. They asked him about that, and he said, it is very difficult. Even now, it's still a process. It takes quite a long time in post, and we have some of the best visual effects people available working. We still haven't seen the final version of it. It's very much a work in process. So my guess is that wig is probably...
It's a placeholder, for sure.
It's a placeholder, and her hair will probably be all CG 100%. All the time.
It's the only way to do it.
It's not... And this picture is exactly what we're going to get, then I may not get past episode one. Like,
I really wanted a show where people that felt like outcasts had somewhere to turn, and instead we got homogenized a bunch of, like, people standing in a row that don't look like the... Like, it just doesn't feel like anything special, and I was just turning to the side of Inhumans because I was like, I've always seen them as Diet X-Men. I was finally seeing it as a different thing, and I was finally seeing it as going deeper into feeling accepted because of, like, a religious entitlement, and this shows me 1997's X-Men, not even Inhumans.
Yeah, so let me... Yeah, here's...
definitely X-Men feel. Like old school X-Men feel. Not old school comic.
Right, like old school homogenized X-Men translations.
So here's the quote that stood out to me from... There's a couple. I'm only going to read you this one. from the interview with Scott Buck. They asked him if he was planning to lean into the more fantastical elements of the Inhumans' powers or trying to ground the series. And his response was, to a certain extent, yes. But again, we approach these all as real people who just happen to have these abilities, so they're all very grounded people. We try to write them as real as possible and then have fun with the powers when we can. We want their powers to seem very, like, very natural part of their personality. So,
I think that's the wrong way to go with Inhumans. I think that's the right way to go with X-Men and with certain other properties. With Inhumans, no. This is not... They have their own hidden city that inspired mythology. Like, they are not human beings. Their average lifespan is a couple centuries.
Yeah.
And they willingly subject children to mutagenic crystal. Like, it's a different society. So grounding them in what? This is your chance to go into fantasy. And, like, these are, like, the elves of myth. These are, you know, they would have more in common with Tolkien's elves than with anyone you would meet in New York.
Yeah, and, like, I get exactly the instinct here to ground them, to make them some semblance of relatable for us, to make them real people with, like, actual emotions and troubles and struggles and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that you have to completely steal their powers away from them and completely rob them of their society and barely ever go to Adelan, kind of like what they did with Kun Lun. Yeah.
You human washed them.
Well, also, here's the thing.
You,
like,
human washed the Inhumans.
With so many superhero shows out now, you want your property to stand out.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this that stands out to me. If you said these are new characters coming to Arrow, I would have been like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. They look like other people I've seen on Arrow.
Yeah, but Alan, that's the thing.
Exactly.
Where it's like there are so many superhero properties, and it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great. We have Runaways. We have
but you gotta
the
stand out.
We have everything. But you have to do something to make me tune into Hulu, to make me tune into Netflix. Like, you have to give me something. It can't just be the property's name.
Especially since it's the first show to team up with IMAX.
Yeah.
For me, that's what hurt the most, because this is what got me on board with Inhumans. I'm reading Inhumans comics now. I'm going back into the, like, full Kirby Inhumans. Mm-hmm. I'm re-experiencing the Inhumans with a fresh pair of eyes, and I'm appreciating them as not X-Men. And then you give me Smallville. Like, you give me... Yeah, and I love Smallville. Smallville's
amazing. Like, right, but this is not Smallville.
We're past that.
Yeah. I mean, this looks like they're... This is pre-Iron Man.
It's time-wise. It's just back,
like,
back
this
step.
Is ABC taking a safe bet in 2005 and going, maybe the Inhumans will work. Let's try. Let's tone it down a little bit. But like we said earlier, we've had Doctor Strange. He's tripped through weird dimensions that grab at him with tiny baby hands. Yes. And this is what you give us? Like, so
he had an entire fight backwards.
No, I just realized feels great, though. This is the first. I hate talking negative. I hate feeling negative. I feel very tired right now.
Yeah. Sure,
this
sure.
is the first time we've had to dive negative about any property in months.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fair. That.
This
it's
is
fair.
The first
at
time.
Least, at least there is a positive and this spin. Is an this image. Is a first look.
Yes, so this is one image yes. from, you know, and it's a very real possibility that what happened with Iron Fist might be a totally different thing
right.
that happens within humans. I mean, so I believe
the sticky
I've
the
looked yeah. at a few interviews with him, and he was a little bit hesitant jumping into Inhumans, but I think there's... You know, there's probably a fire there for him, and you know, I'm gonna give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, no, I'll still give it a shot.
Yeah. Like,
but I'm just saying, we're not using negative, and it feels good to be done with that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Yes. moving right. on.
Yeah. And there's some good things about it.
There are,
like with the Black Bolt.
Light.
Yes,
the casting's incredible.
The casting yes. is
casting
great.
Is good.
And Maximus, is perfect. Maximus looks and sounds great because they also released a teaser. All we saw was a pyramid that looks like it could be an Atalan, and then we heard. Dialogue over the Inhumans title, and the dialogue was, are we supposed to follow our king or and remain as silent as he is? Then a female voice says, you're talking about betraying your brother, you're talking about treason. And then Maximus says, what I'm talking about is freedom for all Inhumans. And the way it sounded, like, my guess is the female voice is Medusa, but it also, like, it would seem that she would be a little more freaked out that, like, her like brother-in-law is like planning to kill the brother or yeah. to treason. Ewan, is it Ewan? I-W-A-N? Ewan?
Sure.
Ewan Rion sounds how Maximus has always sounded in my head. Like, he nailed that. And he was like, are we supposed to follow our king? It's like, oh nice. My God, you're Maximus. All right, yeah. I'm on board. Like, that's the brightest spot that we have, is that the villain might outshine and be better than the heroes, and that would be the first time that's happened in a Marvel property.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that, actually,
be totally
because
okay with
we
it.
Haven't really had that.
Yeah, we haven't had know. That at all. All right, let's move away. Yeah.
Oh, but Black Bolt will communicate with
He'll
him.
Communicate with sign language. We
yeah,
already said that.
That he's making up. It's not Earth-based.
Not sign language that we know. It's,
yeah.
no,
it's
his sign language.
It's his sign
his
language.
Sign language.
And, okay, whatever.
Which is interesting because they're speaking English, so why wouldn't they have an Earth-based... sign language, yeah. but you know what? I'm glad that they're doing
it's a step in our direction.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We also had Spider-Man: Homecoming. A new clip was released
that oh,
yeah. showed
yeah.
Tom Holland as Peter Parker crawling in to his dorm room. I'm guessing with Ned Leeds. I refuse to watch clips when they're released because I don't want to ruin that much of the movie for myself.
Okay.
You're the same.
Yeah.
And
feel free to watch
it's
it
Spider-Man.
Yourself.
But feel free to watch it
yeah,
for yourself.
Feel free to watch
it's fun.
It yourself.
You did watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. It's fun.
So, okay.
Yeah. Cool. And it seems to be Peter's bedroom because Aunt May can be heard outside the door.
Oh.
So it seemed to me like Ned was visiting.
All right.
And Peter just didn't realize he was over.
Cool. All right. All right.
Cool.
Which
cool.
immediately made me wonder, where's your spider sense, son? But we'll see. Because the movies
He's
tend to play fast and loose with the spider sense.
Yeah, it's
and maybe
stuff.
Ned Leeds
yeah.
isn't necessarily a threat.
Guys, I got a question.
Yo.
Yes.
What's the name of this actress? Because I've seen her in like a different range.
Tessa Thompson.
She's fantastic because I think she was in Selma. I think she was
She's in Creed.
She's in Creed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Creed.
She's in a bunch of different things. So
yeah.
I like her range. That's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
No,
cool.
Her as Valkyrie yeah. is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excited
then,
for that.
Real quick with Spider-Man news, with Homecoming. Tom Holland has, he did Lip Sync Battle.
Mm-hmm.
He did it to Singing in the Rain and then Rihanna's Umbrella.
Arguably the best I've ever seen a lip sync battle. It
well,
is so good.
It will yeah, erase it. That dance scene from Spider-Man 3 from your mind.
I didn't
minds.
Even think of that. That's so true.
It erases
oh, so
it.
True.
What a great mic drop of like, this is how you dance as Spider-Man.
See? He went full Kirby.
Gotta go full Kirby. Always go full Kirby when you get the
Always
chance.
Go full Kirby.
All right, let's jump over to Infinity War real quick.
Infinity Roar.
We've got Avengers Infinity War may have just picked up a Thor character. And that is Thor Ragnarok actress who we just saw, Tessa Thompson.
Tessa Thompson.
Over in Scotland, a fan found her and took a selfie and posted it on Twitter. And that was the first time that we've heard, Valkyrie's,
mm-hmm.
She's there. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we kind of already knew she was going to be involved. We had heard that, but now we have 100% confirmation that she is. We'll get to a little bit more in a second, but we
yeah.
also had
so
a picture.
We got some T-Toms, y'all.
We got to see some T-Toms?
T-Tom dog.
Then we also have Rocket Raccoon spotted on the set for the Avengers Infinity War. Now, here's the thing with this one. This is a stand-in for Rocket. Sean Gunn actually does the motion capture and action for him. But whenever they're setting cameras and lighting and movement and all that stuff, they need a stand-in for like sort of camera line and eye lines, right. And that's what they use there. So that is approximately the size of Rocket Raccoon, and he's in a church in Scotland. I can't remember the name of the church. I looked it up earlier, forgot to write it down, but there it is. Now here's what's interesting about all of this.
Is it Durham Cathedral?
Durham Cathedral. There it is. Thank you. I did write it down.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We know that wrote it down. We read the brief that Matt wrote.
I'm very fast. I move very fast. I have way too much going on.
Instead of conjuring his type, he's just like, and the script today will be...
Skibbity dip by dip boo. Then also, Avengers Infinity War set photo shows a major Age of Ultron tie-in. So remember when Thor had his vision... the camera moved kind of like from left to right, or right to left, and you saw like a big picture of like this kind of like giant Viking, kind of golden Viking. And the presumption now, we've got a picture of it here, the presumption is that Valhalla? Are all of the fallen warriors there? And if they're shooting that, is this a flashback? Is this another dream sequence? Or is Thor... and Valkyrie and possibly Hulk, because Thor, Hulk, and Valkyrie have all been spotted on the same set at the same time, are the three of them all going to Valhalla or Asgard in some way together? And if Rocket Raccoon is shooting in Cathedral in the same area, are the Guardians going there? Like, do the Guardians visit Asgard? Do the Guardians visit Valhalla? Is that a place that's accessible to mortals if you know how to get there?
Yeah, I mean, we know the first time that they meet the Avengers is in space, but after that...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, obviously, unless they're shooting, like, at a church in space, which is also entirely possible...
And actually has a big thing to do with the Guardians when they fight the Church of
Universal
Life.
Truth,
yeah. The Church of Universal Truth, and Adam Warlock's evil doppelganger, the Magus.
Mm-hmm.
So you say the Magus, I say the Magus.
Well, the old word is Magus.
Huh.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. Space church.
So, yeah, maybe it's a space church. Maybe it's an earthbound church. We don't know. We won't know until almost exactly a year. It's 51 weeks from now.
Thereabouts.
Give or take.
Now, one of our fan of the show actually sent us that first picture with the green screen and all that in the background. Nice. So I'm not sure if they took it or if they had found it, but they said it was in their hometown, so that Thor was like filming on the street. I'm not sure. I don't remember which one. I'm sorry about that, but I remember reading that tweet and being like, oh. So that's super exciting for someone to just stumble across that statue and be like, oh, tight.
Oh, yeah. Tight.
Be like, this is familiar.
I like to think that it's tight.
So let's leave all of that behind.
Oh, it's at MCU_tweets.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our thoughts and review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which was released in America last week.
Okay, so are we doing spoilerific?
This is the last thing we're talking about. This is the last thing, because of spoilers.
Spoiler time.
So if you guys haven't seen, run away.
Yeah. Yes, if you haven't seen it and you don't want anything spoiled, then you can get on out of here.
Do we have any other Guardians?
Get on out.
Well,
all right.
All right, we're doing it. We're doing it. Spoilers. Goodbye. Or stay, if you don't care.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yay. James Gunn has already started writing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Nothing big there, but like it is exciting to think about. And that's exactly what he did last time. Movie comes out. He's our, like, that day.
3 years. That's amazing.
That day he starts writing it.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right.
Spoiler
alert.
I know
I was so late. I had to try.
We didn't spoil anything yet, so thank you.
It's like, we're being invaded, and then the alarm goes off. Hey, guys, they're coming. Yeah, we know.
Well,
we
see them.
It's like the scene with Drax and Mantis. After she gets hit, Drax warns her. Yeah,
this is... Look out. Mantis, watch out.
Yeah, this was a deep cut Easter egg. That's what that was.
You're welcome.
Also, Guardians of the Galaxy is already nearing 500 million global box office.
Good deal.
Already.
Good deal.
What's the over-under on a billion? What do we think?
I think it'll hit just short of a billion.
Really?
I think it'll reach
a billion?
Well, because it's already been released worldwide almost everywhere.
Sure.
And then I think it'll hit like 920 million.
And we're not talking about like digital download.
No, we're talking
DVD.
Just theatrical.
No, just theatrical.
Yeah. I think it'll hit like in the low 900s.
Yeah? I think it'll hit a billion.
I want it to hit a billion. Yeah. I'm just saying I think it'll slow down just short of a billion, personally.
Kisser, you have a pony in this ride?
No.
No?
Yeah.
I'm just, it's got critical acclaim and money, so.
I wanted to make $3 billion because James Gunn deserves it, because that movie was magic.
Yeah, it was great. All right, so let's get in with it. Let's start with this simple question, favorite moments. That was your favorite moment?
Oh, you said favorite moments. You said, it's not singular.
No, I know.
Again,
but like,
stuck on very single, narrow-minded views, Matthew.
Fair enough. All right,
I have a series of favorite moments. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh,
Mary
Poppins,
y'all.
The best.
Oh my God, Yondu. Okay, I love the character arc that Yondu did between these two movies. That is, it's fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's because. You know, he already had, like, all the word bling. He already had all the things where it's like, they ain't never had Taren before, you know, things like that. But it's like, and then it turns out, yes, he was Chris Pratt. He was Star-Lord's father all along, where it's like, it was never Ego.
Yeah.
Like, he's never, your father, that, but that ain't your daddy.
Yeah, that one line.
Oh, like, yeah, that's great.
Killed me. He may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy. I was like, oh, Yondu. Like, this is the first Marvel movie to ever make me teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Like, and it did it. It really did it. Like, it wasn't like, I want to cry in a Marvel movie. It was, oh my God, I'm crying in a Marvel movie. Oh my God, this is great.
It's not stopping. It won't stop.
Yeah. So, and the first time I saw it, like, I was doing some work for Screen Junkies and stuff. So, like, I was only, like, 70% emotionally engaged in it. So, the second time I saw it was with my wife and a couple of our closest friends. And we went and saw it at El Cap. And it was so much better the second time. Like, I could not believe how much more I enjoyed it the second time. And it held up, and it was great. And so.
I didn't expect. Logan and this both made me, like, openly weep. I didn't expect.
Oh, Logan.
Look.
Oh,
Logan. But I didn't expect to feel that way after. Like, the first one is probably tied for number one as my favorite of all time.
Right.
I didn't expect. So the bar's high. The bar's impossibly high. I host a Marvel show. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So I didn't know what to get into with the second one. And then it didn't invest its energy into trying to be a sequel. It invested its energy into making sure every character got an arc. And I've never seen a sequel do that, where it was a character-based film, where it almost had sitcom moments where you were so invested in the characters. It didn't have the trajectory of a film. And I think a lot of people have the problem with that, because it didn't feel like a three-act structure. It felt like a show. And I thought that was its strength, and a lot of the arguments is that is its weakness. But I've never cared so much about so many characters at once that it actually felt like a family. The reason I love the Fast movies is because they're about family. This is the first time I felt like a team felt like family, and I never thought I'd be more invested in Guardians and Avengers, but this is more of a family than it is a team. And that was beautiful. Yeah. And every single, you have the brother-sister relationship. You have the man and woman relationship with the unrequited love that's unspoken. You have the sister-sister relationship. You have the father figure times two, then Thanos' father figure times two daughters. Like, there's so many dynamics of family that get so much time to really express themselves, and then you feel it all. And then it has so many other movie homages. It has so much good action. It's the most visually stunning Marvel movie I've ever seen. It is staggering in its glory, and I just couldn't appreciate it more.
Yeah, all of that space porn, I was on
board. It
was
so pretty.
It was gorgeous.
Beautiful movie.
Like the funeral pyre that was a rainbow?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I need. I want that funeral.
They set off the fireworks or the space fireworks.
Can you guys kill me in rainbows?
No, we can't.
I will, Corn. I will.
I have an $800 million funeral planned.
Kisser, what about you? What some favorite moments just coming
to mind? No,
it's tight, bro. It's tight.
Yeah. It's tight.
Star-Lord was,
you know, it was interesting because the first movie I think of as fun, but not necessarily actually that good. Like, it's full of fun things. It's full of great visuals. I love that it embraces Marvel nuttiness and comic bookiness, and it goes full Kirby. And but at the same time, like, when I really break down the first movie, I'm like, well, Star-Lord doesn't really have an arc in it. He's kind of the same dude throughout. It's just now he has pals. And Rocket, like, has a slight arc, but not really. He's just now hanging out with more people than he was before. Gamora has a really inconsistent character in the first movie. And Drax is, like, maybe the best character in the film and actually has an arc, but then also had... that weird line about calling Gamora a whore, which, when they had established that he refers to things literally, makes no sense, because there's nothing in the movie in which he saw her being paid for money or enticement services or anything. So it was one of those things where, like, I liked it. It was a fun ride, but, like, I couldn't really say it, like, was a solid movie, as solid as, like, even Slither.
by James Gunn had a more solid story arc to me. This was everything that I wish the first movie had had as well. Like, sure. This was all character. And exactly what you're saying, this wasn't a sequel. This was its own movie that had mm-hmm. the same characters.
Yeah.
And was
yeah.
just its own story. You don't even need the first movie to get this movie. It lets you know
yeah.
the basics. Like, the only thing it really references is, like, something impressive happened that Star-Lord did in the last movie. Like, mm-hmm. involving a stone for some reason. Like, that's all... And that's not essential to the plot of this movie other yeah. than it's how Ego knew to look for him.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. kind of it. And Nebula, I thought... Nebula was actually my high point of the first movie. Because I was just like, you have really... This is another example of why if you give them the freedom... And they read the comics, but they care about story. The movies, the TV shows can actually improve on the comics. Because Nebula is not an interesting character in the comics. Mm-hmm. She's just this terrorist lady who may or may not be Thanos' granddaughter. Not even he knows or cares. Mm-hmm. She's just out there being crazy. And here, in the first movie alone, like I thought, oh, she's so much more interesting. Like mm-hmm. this angry sister to Gamora. And already that relationship... change by itself makes her more mm-hmm. interesting. Why mm-hmm. does she have these cyborg parts? And then this movie where it's she got each cyborg part because she lost to a fight. She
with
had
yeah. to she the had good character.
Yeah. She yeah. had limbs taken. Like, you made your daughters compete for survival. Not for attention, for survival. That makes Thanos a bigger villain in my mind than any previous Marvel film has up to this
yeah,
point.
Completely. Yeah.
Like, otherwise he's just a dude in a chair looking for rocks. This, yeah. like, who for some reason wants to be Dazzled Glove. This lets me know he is evil. There is something wrong here.
Yeah, yeah, and you have to think, when did he start with
when
that,
did he start?
With them?
Are they the first kids?
Exactly.
Are they the first kids? Did they have other siblings we haven't heard about yet, and yeah. they just freaking died at age 5? You know, it leads to this whole other thing. It's like the best mm-hmm. Star Wars films where... they're able to tell you the right thing that doesn't tell you a whole story, but lets you imagine the mm-hmm. greater universe out there. This movie did that repeatedly. Just even with the Ravagers, the other factions of Ravagers, we didn't have that at all set up in the first movie. It doesn't matter. All you had to do was see how Yondu suddenly had shame
mm-hmm.
and tried
writing.
Right, and tried to talk to Starhawk, and that he was. Even had that line of, like, you think this brings me pleasure? Like, yeah. you disappointed yeah. me. That alone, you don't have to know the details. You don't have to know how long they served together.
Yeah.
No.
You just have to see Yondu's in pain and ashamed, mm-hmm. not embarrassed, but ashamed. Of, like, my brothers in arms, my comrades and sisters in arms. I disappointed them. Like, that alone.
Well,
in like 2 minutes gave much more of his character.
Along with that is that the rest of his crew, this wasn't a new thing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, this was like, no, this was established. We're still running with him, but we already know that we're outcasts for yeah. everything else. So
yeah.
then that sets up a thing where you have that high status, low status between Stallone and, I shouldn't say Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
Starhawk.
Yeah, I need to stop calling actors by the, yeah. Okay, so Stakar and Yondu.
Yeah. That was actually one of my favorite things about the film was that whole Ravager's background and how, because in the comics it became a little confusing and a little clunky, as fun as it was for there to be a second Guardians team from an alternate future that was then bleeding into our past, which our present.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. so there's a second Guardians team, but it's from the future, which makes them the second Guardian teams, but they were actually, it was like that mm-hmm. whole confusing thing. So James Gunn was like, no, they're the Ravagers.
Yeah. I mean,
and
like,
they preceded the Guardians, and maybe at some point in their lifetime, they actually did guard the universe
yeah.
while they were thieving. Sort of very similar to what the Guardians do. It's like,
hey, well,
we're mercenaries,
what?
You
if
know?
If you guard
like,
the universe, you can steal from it a little bit.
And also,
you know?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, this movie gives such a great sense of history all around.
Mm-hmm.
You really felt like... I mean, the first movie gave you a sense of it with the talk of the Infinity Stone's origin and showing us the Celestials. But this really, really, like, helped feel more of the universe and how much stuff is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of these characters have had histories beyond what we've seen. And you're absolutely right. Like, it's great to see that he just... you know, took his own simplified version of the original Guardians and threw it in there. The fact that we got to see, like, Charlie 27 and Martin X, like, characters who I never thought I would see a live-action version of. Like, never was I going to see Starhawk in a movie.
Not only that, Starhawk played by Rocky.
Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Never
was that going to happen.
Never, ever was
and then,
it, yeah.
And like I said, also, this has been what the best adaptations do is they come up with an idea that's good enough to go back into the comics.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men, when that movie gave a much more impressive version of Cerebro than we'd ever seen in the comics,
mm-hmm.
that version wound up back in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
The radio show introduced Kryptonite. That became part of Superman's comics.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the first movie gave us that much more interesting version of Nebula. That is now the version mm-hmm. of Nebula in Marvel Comics. Now
yep.
she is Thanos' adopted daughter
mm-hmm.
who fought with Gamora regularly. And they used to like try to kill each other in different ways. And it's so great to see how that... give and take comes back. And yeah, everyone had a great character arc here. I think the first hour could have been cut down a little bit.
I'm going to disagree with you on
sure.
that one. I was not impressed with Gamora's character arc for this movie. It just seemed like she was she was there to support other people. I didn't feel like there was a big...
Yeah,
it just there wasn't a lot of growth with her. It's like she was completely blindsided by Nebula being like, I just wanted a sister. And it just... You know, I can understand that, but it's like she was like a prop-up point for Nebula. She was a prop-up point for Star-Lord to be like, oh, this unspoken thing.
Right.
So I'm not impressed with her character development.
I would say, though, that she started off the film hating her sister, just wanting to take her back to Xandar, and she ended the film giving her a hug and looking for reconciliation. So I will say they could have done more with it, and it was a bit more subtle in its approach. There was a bit of an arc. It just wasn't as blown out as everyone else.
Honestly, I've got to go with her. I've got to say that there wasn't really an arc what she was there to support. Because also, you know, we get that there's this unspoken thing going on. We can get on Quill's end why it's unspoken or why he's uncomfortable about it. That perhaps, like, half of this movie is about his daddy issues and his family issues and his intimacy issues.
Yeah.
So,
why is it unspoken for her?
Right, exactly. We don't get why
know.
It's unspoken for her. Does she have intimacy issues as well?
Yeah.
Has she never had a lover because she was just a weapon for a long time and she doesn't know how
Which
to deal with this?
Which would be cool, be interesting to know.
Is she just, you know, this is not romantic for me, this is kinship. You know, it could even be like she's not interested in sex at all. She could be ace, she could be gay, and we don't know. And you're absolutely right. We don't know that. I am glad that at least her character was consistent here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the first movie, I didn't feel there was consistency.
Because
depending on what scene, she's either innocent, or she's a hardened weapon, mm-hmm. or she's an amazing fighter, or she's a fighter who needs three people to help her out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was not consistent. Here, I had a consistent Gamora. But you're right. She didn't have the same arc that Nebula or Quill had, or even Rocket had. You're right.
Yeah, it just seemed like she was, you know, she was there. You know, mm-hmm, she was there. Mm-hmm. She was a part of everything. She was here. I mean, think about it. With Drax, you get all of that emotion, and you get that through Mantis. You find out who Mantis is just from her relationship with Drax and how she interacts with everybody. And then it's just, Mantis is just kind of scared of Gamora.
I feel like the first film focused on Gamora and Star-Lord, so this film allowed them to take a back seat for a lot. If you actually look at the film, Star-Lord's not, he's with his dad a lot, so you get time to invest in Drax and Rocket and all that stuff. So the reason I felt like that worked for me was because, one, I knew she was pregnant, so she probably couldn't film a lot. But two, I imagine that the world building from the first one carried over for me, where I knew she was strong and she knew she had these character choices that were already made, and she already had done enough that I didn't feel like they needed to focus so much time on her, because they made my whole thing about family is they made the whole team feel like a team. It couldn't have been a 3-hour movie, so I didn't mind personally that. I totally see your argument, but for me, the first movie set her up enough that I didn't need it. It's not fair to isolate the two movies.
See, I think I hear what you're saying on that. Like, but again, like for me, I didn't feel like she had as much development in the first film, because it was more about Star-Lord reacting to her than, because I still don't know in the first film why she left Thanos.
Okay,
like what, how long she'd been thinking of leaving, when she decided.
Yeah. So you can see from like my point of view, I relate more to Gamora than I do with anybody else, and I felt like I didn't really get to see her.
Gotcha.
I haven't gotten to see her, and that's like, it feels unfair. It's like I want to see her. I want her. I just give me some lines or something that, you know, puts her here for me.
And honestly, I think you could have fixed that if you had one, like, if you took 30 seconds away from the Sovereign at one point and just gave Gamora two extra lines at the beginning and the end about any personal feeling she has, whether it's towards
her sister or her childhood or mm-hmm. Peter Quill, like, you can tell a lot with one or two sentences.
Yeah.
If you have a decent actor and you have music in the background, yeah. frankly.
Or half a sentence and just a pause and a trail off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could have taken 30 or could have taken a minute out of the final fight and given her a little bit more story. Yeah,
for me, her realizing her flaws worked for me. For me, her realizing that she hadn't been the sister to what she thought she was, and that she hadn't been, like, this ultimate righteous. Like, I saw her righteousness fall out of her. I think she always thought she was right until her sister showed that she hadn't been right. Mm-hmm. And that was the arc for me, was that her seeing the fallibility in her ways. And that, to me, was stronger than any amount of dialogue, was just her acting opposite someone who felt so much pain. Because Nebula, like we said, was one of the stronger parts of the film. Nebula's pain
Fantastic.
Was yeah. so telling for Gamora's arc. So, for me, the balance, the yin and yang, totally worked. But before I tangent, I think the pirate world building in this film was some of the strongest Marvel's ever had. I think the world building here with some of the dialogue, so like good. The 99 factions line, like yeah. and the casting of the actor with the Glasgow smile as the pirate, the guy yeah. that actor is yeah. incredible. It made it feel more like a pirate ship, and that yeah. was so much fun to see, like, these outlaws versus these pirates. And I always have the struggle of, like, seeing a pirate ship in space, like, whenever you have these sci-fi things. I'm always like, ship, right?
Right.
This felt like a bunch of freaking pirates in space,
yes. especially when you see how they sleep.
Right, and look. Yeah. And, like, them, like, walking the plank yeah. into space. That was yeah. so cool. Oh, there were so many fun moments, and, like, the montage with Groot, and also love they didn't lean into Baby Groot as much as I feared they would. When Disney announced yeah. Baby Groot, I was like, oh no, we're gonna have 2 hours. The opening scene, I was like, if this is 2 hours of them just being like, look how cute, and they didn't. They used didn't. Him yeah. when yeah. they needed to, yeah. and he yeah. was perfect and adorable.
That
taser
toe.
Face. Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
There's so many.
Oh,
that toe.
Baby
toe,
Groot yeah. shows up with the toe.
I really love. There is a great way to play with things where you know not to explain certain things
yes.
in the story.
Yes.
It's so much funnier not to. Like,
yeah. mm-hmm.
The fact that Rocket and Yondu are just like, we're just not going to talk about this.
Let's not bring this up ever.
Ever again.
So, again. Along with the line of I'm Mary Poppins, y'all, the other best line of the entire movie for me was, ha, 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 I have famously huge turds.
Yeah.
So many one-liners were good.
They were great yeah. one-liners, yeah.
Drax killed it.
Yeah.
Drax and Mantis, like,
oh my god,
practically
yeah, poor
stole
Mantis.
The show.
The one
poor
thing,
Mantis.
The one thing, like, I didn't get, show. Like, I was absolutely fine with all of Drax's stuff, but again, like, with what we've established about his personality, I felt like they, just like with the horror line in the first movie, they sort of forgot his personality just for the sake of a joke. When when Mantis wakes him up, mm-hmm. he's like, no, I, you know, I'm not expecting sex from you or something. I'm just like, there's honestly been nothing to give you that indication. Like, that.
Well,
and again, if you're supposed to be very literal minded, I don't
yeah.
see how you drew this. If you were Peter Quill, I could see Peter Quill going like, look, Mantis, I'm not into you, but thank you. Like, for Drax.
Yeah, but
I was,
he's spent a few months with them now.
Right.
So I think in Drax is, he's not a dummy. You
no,
know,
he's
just
a
he's dummy. Just lower-minded. I think he's trying to
it was
it
such
out.
A weird assumption on his part that it actually, like, took me out. Not like I was
yeah.
even offended. I was just like, this is just weird.
I feel
okay.
like
I
feel like
that.
His he's just narcissistic enough that he believes that she is coming on to her. Like, it's not necessarily a literal thing. I think it's a narcissism thing where he's like, I am the best fighter on this team, and it would make sense for a female to want to, like, enjoy sex with me. You know, that's what I got out of it. So
even that almost feels like too limited to me for, like, a space
right.
green man. Like, and again, like it's
it
going into,
it could have,
like,
been more honest. Like, if he saw her as a little sister and be like, you constantly vex me. I need my own time alone.
Yeah,
not
something
now.
Like that. Yeah, it
yeah.
just it seemed like just we're pushing this for the sake of someone thought this joke was funny. And,
yeah.
and
right.
so
the explanation
just,
of Drax
yeah.
not wearing a shirt because of his sensitive nipples was one of the best,
that
yeah.
was genius.
Funniest explanations of a
yeah.
wardrobe choice I've ever seen in
that
my life.
That was genius. And it works.
And
it completely
works.
It works so well.
It's worth noting
I'm
the last official image of this movie is of a completely 100% CGI raccoon crying, and I was
yeah.
weeping. I just
yeah.
like, I just,
yeah.
the amount of, like, credibility this universe has built that the MCU has, there was a raccoon crying at me and I lost my chip. Like, I couldn't
yeah.
this
yeah.
movie was beautiful.
Yeah, it really
in
was.
So many ways.
Yeah.
Well,
and
let's
all the Easter eggs.
Let's talk
and
speaking
the,
of
and the Watchers.
Yeah,
oh, the Watchers.
Well,
Stanley's best cameo of all time.
Stanley.
Yeah.
Stanley's best cameo.
But go ahead.
Like,
no,
yeah.
I was going to say, let's
okay.
talk about the end credits.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to start wrapping it up. Let's talk about the end credits. Starting with Kraglin with the Yondu arrow, do we think he's going to be the new Yondu? Do we think he'll be in Infinity War? Is it going to end up in Guardians 3 that he has the arrow and he's still trying to learn how to use it?
I think it was just for fun. I think he's the quiet MVP of the film. I'd argue Sean Gunn was like some of the most heart in this movie. The scene of him cheering. Yeah. That moment when they zoom in on Sean Gunn and he cheers.
And he cheers.
I literally, that's what broke me. I'd like, it was like the shot with the shovel and Logan. Like, I'd been like, I got this. And then Sean Gunn, I was like, oh no!
Yeah. Emotions!
Couldn't hang. So
emotions!
I think Sean Gunn's done what he needed to do. I want him in the next one, but I don't know if that'll, it's funny and it might not work.
Yeah, I don't think it's needed. But I appreciated it because then it's like, you know, legacy. You know, that kind of thing. Like Yondu's teachings will eventually come to fruition and move on.
The new
Yondu. I don't think it's necessary. I'd almost prefer it not to because Yondu was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm okay without, but I appreciated that little idiot. Sure. And then like, yeah, Drax would be the one to take the arrow.
I want Sean Gunn in the next film. I just don't want them to disrespect the Yondu legacy if they make it just comedy. If it's like a legacy, then which that's something.
And that's another thing about what the first movie I thought did a great job of, because Yondu in the comics was kind of a racist stereotype. Mm-hmm. He was just meant to be like wise Native American with a bow, except we made him blue.
And he was from Alpha Centauri. Yeah.
Right. But like everything about him was coded Native American. Mm-hmm. And like you could have called him Tonto. Like it was ridiculous. And the fact that they just made him such a different character where there's no racial stereotypes around him and he's just this fun kind of rednecky pirate is like, you know what? Awesome.
And he collected little figurines.
And he collected troll dolls for some bizarre
Michael
reason.
Rooker did Michael some Rooker like such it. Incredible work.
He really killed it on this one. All right, let's Stanley and the Watchers. That really was the best the best cameo.
Who saw that coming? Did so anyone?
Good. Absolutely not.
I've been saying it for years, but I thought I was lying.
And a lot of people have been saying like, wait, does that mean that Fantastic Four belongs to Marvel? All that stuff.
No.
Clarification. You'll notice there were three Watchers in that shot and not just one. Had Marvel used one, the implication would have been, well, that's Uatu the Watcher. The fact that they used three is, this is a race of Watchers, and we are allowed to use the race. We are not allowed to use Uatu. So.
Right. It's like they're allowed to use the scrolls. They can't use Paybok, the Power Scroll. They can't use Kullert, the Super Scroll.
Yeah, exactly. So, Teenage Groot.
So weird.
Teenage Groot was genius.
I am so weird.
Genius.
The leaves everywhere.
These vines everywhere.
And he was playing a game the exact same as Star-Lord was at the beginning.
It was so funny how that tied into the father theme. They literally said it at the end, but also just the implication that, like, you know, father passing the torch and now he's like dealing with teenagers. Like, I loved that so much.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to like read that story or see that animated feature of like Teenage Groot?
Well, and the vocalization was like, it was I am Groot.
You could hear the whatever dad.
Yeah, you could totally hear the Lilson's voice.
I
want to
see Vin Diesel just sassy Groot in somewhere. Like, like that voiceover track that caused that.
I am Groot. All right, so we need to start wrapping soon. I do want to touch on the original Guardians of the Ravagers. We had Charlie 27 played by Ving Rhames. Martin X was Michael Rosenbaum.
Yep.
Aletta, Michelle Yeoh. Stikkar Ogord, Stallone. Then we had Miley Frame, played by Miley Cyrus. That was the head robot. In the comics, that is the disembodied intelligence of the Vision in the future, 1,000 years in the future. Mm-hmm. And they typically, like, he would kind of float around. And he was an entire planet's operating system. And then we also had Krugar. And you'll notice that Krugar did, like, some sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
Krugar becomes the Sorcerer Supreme in the 23rd century, I want to say. And Doctor Strange is his ancient one.
That's pretty cool.
Very nice.
So he's a space wizard.
The deepest of cut geek references.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at the end, fact, just like...
Which is why you probably freaked out.
I lost it. I was like, wait, are they for real doing Krugar, the Sorcerer Supreme from the 23rd century? Because he's mostly a Doctor Strange character. He's only appeared in like 2 or 3 Guardians comics. So we got that. I think that we're probably going to see a lot more of them in Guardians 3.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm hoping that we'll get a spinoff. Like a Galactic Guardians, because that's what they ended up calling themselves in the mid-90s. So we'll have the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then these guys will be like, you do know Galactic Guardians is way easier to say. And then they'll spin off and do their own thing.
Do you think they'll team up and take down Adam Warlock?
That's the last one I wanted to bring up is Adam Warlock. Adam Warlock's origin, he's created by the Enclave on Earth to help the Enclave take over the Earth. However, he's created to be a perfect human being, and part of that, a genetically perfect human, and part of that is perfect morality. So once he realizes the nefarious means that the Enclave has created him for, he turns against his creators and defeats them. I think the same thing will happen here. Aiesha's like, Adam Warlock, or Adam, I want you to go destroy the Guardians. He's like, have they slighted us? Yes, they have. He'll fly off to destroy them. There'll be a big fight, and then he'll be like, you guys are actually pretty wonderful people, and you saved the galaxy.
It's like, what did you use those batteries for?
I'm on your team. Like, and then he'll turn against her. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Personally. I want, and I would love, and you have to see the right movie for this casting to make sense. If you watch Man from U.N.C.L.E., I think Armie Hammer as Adam Warlock would be so good. And if Brad Pitt still wants in the Marvel, then yeah, it would be great too.
I don't know.
And if Idris Elba wasn't already Heimdall, I'd want Idris Elba. But Idris Elba,
Brad Pitt, yeah. So let's move on to the Merry Marvelites.
I think I'd go for Louis Tan, actually.
Oh, yes.
God, he would be
good.
Oh,
God, he was my Iron Fist.
He would be good. Oh, yeah. All right, Merry Marvelites. Take it, Markia.
Shout-outs. Blazing Boxer at Blue Paper Box. G at One Swole _ Hispanic. Jocelyn at Bad Wolf. Bay 10. Stacey Holmes at Ermakova Stasja. Deanne
Mazub.
I'm sorry. At Number One Cookie Lady. Max Russell at Max Russell 66. I'm broken. Alan at JuCE22. Ryan Street at R Street 1984. Tim Chapman at Chem _Tapman.
Nice.
Lo Rosario at Lo Rosario. And Kim M plays Chem at Kimberly and Mutz. So yeah, we were just talking about Adam Warlock. Question from Jonathan Peck at JPEC 1098. Who should play Adam Warlock for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 or Infinity War? My choice would be John Krasinski.
Well, I like him.
Yeah, I like John Krasinski. He's a pretty choice. He's a pretty perfect
pretty
human.
Solid. Mm-hmm.
It was almost Captain America.
Help me out here. I'm forgetting. I'm blanking on the name. Who is in Baywatch opposite of
Zac Efron?
Zac Efron, I think, would be an amazing Adam Warlock.
I mean, I say Zac Efron for everything.
And I hate myself for saying that.
Yeah, you do. I see it in your eyes.
But he's a genetically...
Harry Styles.
He is a genetically perfect...
He's also very...
...specimen of a man. Like,
he's also got great comedic time.
He's a really good actor.
He actually is. I enjoyed Neighbors too.
He's funny.
I think Warlock will probably be a somewhat like humorously innocent.
He needs to.
Character.
Or it doesn't work.
Yeah. Like he's
that's why
he's
I said
like Vision.
Armie Hammer.
He was born yesterday.
In Man from U.N.C.L.E., Armie Hammer plays that. And a lot of people think he's boring, but it's a very specific type of role that I think would lend itself to Adam Warlock.
Sure. All right, keep going.
Okay, Coco D Loco at Coco number 5. At Matt Key, after seeing your Twin Peaks segment, I request for you to do that dance on Marvel Movie News too. We all request that dance.
It's just
looks more painful than the Zac Efron suggestion.
I did that for Screen Junkies last week where we talked about Twin Peaks and I danced for Joestar.
So thanks for that, Coco. Okay. So yeah, remember last week we were talking about if you wanted to have a Marvel, it was a Marvel Core.
We gotta wrap it up. Yeah, it's a Marvel Core box. Go ahead and say that real quick.
So we are going to extend it for one more week.
Last week was such a spoiler heavy show.
So but some of the fan art that we've received so far, so that you know, right here we have. Do we have the fan art up, Ronnie?
Give me one second. Which one are you referring to?
We have four fan art. Ollie got you all those pictures.
If we can't,
I got a couple shout outs too
for
Marvelites. I'll do
those
while those are getting pulled up. So on Instagram, guys, I discovered an entire folder of you guys being amazing. So I want to quickly shout out Wildebeest360, Rick Chavez, who I ran into at the movies this week, and then of course Max Russell, who is 16th birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
So, also a happy birthday from us to you. Howley, Matthew Marcon, XRaul3X, and RyeBread84. You guys have been amazing, and I'm sorry this took as long as it did. Shoutouts, thank
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful.
Yes, and we have some poems from people. Roses are red, Yondu is blue, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. Is he cool?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's from Tweety, please, at not Tweety. So you're still in the running for that box. And then this one is from Rez4487, Right J at Lefty Twilight. Matt Markia Coy, filling my Tuesdays with joy. Marvel Movie News.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Okay, so can you describe this one, Coy? This first one that we have?
So this first piece of, I can't read it because it is, I did not get this one. I'm not sure. Is that the Matt Q? Who is this?
I don't.
Can we scroll up a little?
This one I haven't seen.
Is this one of ours, Ronnie?
Oh, this is amazing.
I've removed this June from the show. Time for you three to go to this is Leo.
Disney Movie News show.
Oh, Leo fan art. Leo sent us good.
Yeah,
Leo's a good artist.
Yeah, Leo was on the show last week, so that's great that he sent some fan art.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, he replaced him. Okay, great. So do you have the next one?
Okay,
so this one is from Cole_Canaletti. Sorry if I mispronounced that. The Earth's mightiest heroes have fallen to those. That's not that one.
Oh wait, so Cole did the last one and this one, I believe. Cole did the one of Leo and then of us separately. So that was Leo from Cole. This is Cole doing the three of us on the show. It is a beautiful interpretation of Matt, and I love that Matt is dressed as Matt under the cloak so much. That is such a great touch.
He's Doctor Strange.
That's a good nod.
And it has Coy as Deadpool holding Spidey Cat. And it has me as Black Panther, y'all.
Nice.
I'm Black Panther.
It's perfect.
And I say, gorgeous. But he's my son all the time, Cole, so thank you. Good call.
Okay, do you have the next one, Ronnie? Okay, this is from Jay Washington, at Mr. Jay Washington.
He says,
I finished up with the coloring on my Rocket Raccoon.
Jay,
hey,
what
do you think? Yeah, this
is
great,
amazing,
right?
I think it's amazing, Jay.
Yeah, Jay's like a stand-up, a wrestler, you know, been on Screen Junkies News with him
Jay's
a couple
great.
Of times. That's a great one. Okay, and then we have our last one from Sky Patterson.
That's about all we see right now, guys.
Okay. Great. Okay, well, we need to wrap it up anyway.
Sky Patterson's one was of the three of us plus
Doom and Matt Cook.
Doom and Matt Cook.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we'll show you that one next week. It's real rad.
All right. Well, we got to wrap. That's been a very long show. Thank you for sitting with us. Alan, thank you for joining us so much.
Yeah, I've got a signing this Saturday if you're at the Barnes Noble in Grossmont. At 2 p.m. for a couple hours with other authors for Doctor Who psychology, Wonder Woman psychology, Captain America vs. Iron Man psychology, Star Wars psychology, and other books.
Great.
Nice.
You can find me at CoyJandreu on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm trying a bunch of new stuff out, and you guys have been very, very receptive, and thank you for the feedback.
Marquee?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marquee McCarty, MarkeeMccarty. Snapchat is Darth Thinmints. Darth is Invader. Thinmints as in Girl Scout Cookies.
Great. And I'll be on Screen Junkies News on Thursday, Friday, and you'll see me on Wednesday Club tomorrow on Geek and Sundry. All right. Bye, guys. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.